Welcome to the Open Update Season 3. I'm one of your hosts, Chris Hartgrink.
And I'm your other host, Saran Field.
Throughout Season 3, we are bringing conversations about power imbalances in research and society to you. So thank you for choosing to spend your time with us here on the podcast. And by discussing power imbalances from all kinds of angles, we want to stimulate you, but also ourselves, to look at the world around us in terms of power. Because how can we improve the world we live in by taking this lens? How can it change how we see things and the problems we see, the problems we even want to try and solve to begin with? And that's what we'll do today as well. And we will discuss the following specific question. So this is going to be, does your personal context influence how you explore the world? So Saran, can you kick us off with this question? Because I think this is one of your pieces of expertise that you bring to the Open Update in Season 3.
When we're conducting research, as you say, when we're exploring the world around us in terms of answering questions and solving problems, we bring with us into this endeavor a lot of ourselves, right? What we think is important is very much influenced by what we've experienced, right? So when we talk about positionality, that's the word that's going to come up a little bit in this episode. When we talk about positionality, we're basically talking about the idea of a disclosure of how someone's, for example, background, say where they come from, their gender, how they experience the world in terms of these different elements of themselves, how they influence their exploration of the world and solving problems. Often in research, we convert this information into a statement, a positionality statement. And so that's, these things are going to come up in today's episode. So that's what we're referring to when we talk about this topic, when we talk about this issue.
When you say this, I'm trying to reflect it back. Would that be something along the lines of, I come from a working class family, I'm a first generation student, so I was the first person in my family to go to university, I'm white from a Western country. Are those all things that would be included, or would there be deeper things that you go, I know you, Chris, I know this would also or could also be a part of your positionality or personal context statement?
All of these things you've just mentioned have a potential role to play in how you do what you do and why you do it. But there are other things, for example, some of your experiences, say in your PhD, you didn't have the easiest ride. And so that kind of experience too, not just your roots, but also what you've been through between being born and being here today, they can also influence how you judge your experiences that you come across, how you interpret what other people say, how you interpret information.
And we have listeners who might be super informed about this already, and listeners who are even just starting to explore this idea or hear it for the first time. So could you maybe, like in rapid fire, give us a few of these contexts that people might think about as applying to themselves in terms of what shapes how they view the world? Because it's very easy to forget that these things color how you see the world, how you explore it.
For example, a whiteness, something that you just mentioned before, that's a big one. For me, for example, I was brought up in a wealthy country in Australia. I was born into a middle-class family. I had no trouble being fed and going to a good school. And I'm now in an institute in a wealthy white nation in the Netherlands. And just the color of my skin and the whiteness of my experience growing up and becoming an academic, that really influences how I perceive things and what I prioritize, say, with my own research. It's easy to forget that whiteness when I'm exploring the world and when I'm identifying problems and that the approach I take to solving them. My gender, for example, being a woman in academia, that comes with its own challenges. And so that's another thing that people forget about, I think, because for some people, especially cisgender people, we're born into a particular context in that sense. We're used to that. We're used to being identified by others with that context in mind. And so it's also easy to forget that as well. And so there are two things, again, say your race or your racial background and your gender, they can really influence how you think about things and what you do.
Yeah, when you say cis, if I understand correctly, it's the gender you're identified with by other people matches your own gender. Yeah. Okay. I also did a very quick Google on some of these aspects to give people some more. Like I think you mentioned a few very important ones. And some other aspects that might also be included is you talked about gender, sexuality. Gender and sexuality are very different, but very important. We already talked about the formal education. Your career stage can matter. The amount of resources or funding you have, very applicable in research.
Absolutely.
Then also caring duties, whether you're housed or not, whether you rent or own your property is a very important one. Which religion, whether your childhood household was stable or not, body size, mental health, and whether you're disabled or non-disabled. Yep. And then we can keep going, but just to give you also something to maybe skip back a few times in case you want to think about these things more specifically. We'll provide a resource that says some of these things also in the show notes. That's a great introduction to this personal context, personality statements. While we were preparing for this podcast, you mentioned there has been discussion around this, right? So not everyone agrees that this is something that people should necessarily talk about or reflect on. So could you talk a bit more about the discussion that has been going on around this, whether personal context matters and whether we should disclose it?
There are diverging opinions about how useful or indeed even how valid positionality actually is. So some people are of the opinion that the backstory, someone's backstory, someone's context has absolutely no bearing on the research that they do. That includes why they're doing that research, topics they've chosen, how they conduct the research, how they disseminate the findings. But on the other hand, especially say people who have a constructivist approach in research, they tend to disagree and say there's value in trying to understand how someone's background and experiences influence how they do research, how they, again, coming back to that idea of exploring the world. So they're two opposing viewpoints, and there's been some interesting posts in terms of articles and in terms of blog posts that have come out on this topic, because I think people really are interested in this topic. It matters to people for different reasons.
Yeah, you mentioned constructivist. Like many people, I myself included, have a lot of difficulty with a lot of isms. Like,
oh, I'm sorry.
It represents so much more than a word. Just to make sure I understand and our listeners understand, what do you mean by that?
Basically, constructivism considers the way that we process information. It's not just passively taking in information. Our brains don't just absorb information, but we actually construct knowledge. So as we experience the world and as we process these experiences, we build a representation of what the world is. And as you might imagine, the idea that all of these experiences that bring us to our understanding of the world, the idea that a constructivist might like the idea of positionality makes a little bit more sense when you think about that.
That makes a lot of sense. And apparently I indeed did not understand the word completely. We said this season was going to be about power imbalances. And so personal context, power imbalances quickly leads me to also think about privilege, which for a lot of people, if you have a rough life, then it can quickly feel like I don't have privilege, even though compared to other people, there might still be a difference in terms of how much privilege you have. This idea of personal context relating to power imbalances and the power that we see in the world around us, and also recognizing our own story in that, how power has influenced and privilege has influenced where we have gotten, is a very critical one, I guess, also for the discussions that we want to have.
Yeah.
And so I wonder whether we talked about this positionality, but in terms of research, when we think about privilege and power imbalances, how that affects your work, how does the story you tell about yourself come in? I think this would be something that you would call also reflexivity from a more science and technology studies perspective.
Yeah.
But could you talk a bit about this reflexivity and how we might utilize that in our everyday, in a super practical setting?
In a nutshell, because there's an entire huge body of literature on reflexivity, but in a little cute nutshell, reflexivity refers to an active process of reflecting on yourself, and in this particular context of reflecting on yourself as a researcher that is part of the research process. So where humans that are conducting research, typically, at least in the social sciences, on other human beings. And so doing that kind of research without any sort of thought process into our position as the researcher in that process, because we're interpreting this information, right? We're setting out these questions or these hypotheses, then we're choosing methods to explore these questions, and then we are collecting these data and interpreting these data with the lens of our own humanity right there in the form. So the idea of reflexivity is to say, okay, where do I sit in that process, and how do I, as the researcher in the middle of that process, how do I do the thing? How do I do this role of the researcher?
It's so fascinating, because as you talk about this, I keep thinking about the many analyst project. We take this perspective of personal context, or how you explore the world doesn't matter, then it should be a logical next step that then whoever does the analysis of the same question shouldn't matter either. But from this many analyst study, I came to the conclusion that it varied a bunch. And then, of course, we can ask this question, why does it vary? That's a very interesting one. And I think that you bring up this point of reflexivity, reflecting on how our personal context might influence the choices that we make, is a very interesting one, marrying this idea of power imbalances with the variability in results in a super practical setting already. Taking this as a way to look at these problems, this lens of looking at the world and how to change it, I think it immediately changes the question of why is there variability to begin with to where does the variability come from? And I think that's a very interesting lens also to, you know, not just tackle questions of how do people relate within research or in the world more broadly, but also in terms of the reproducibility issues even, which I hadn't thought of before we had this conversation. Yeah. To start wrapping up slowly, are there points, because you're very well versed in this, you gave us a very good short recap of reflexivity and positionality, this personal context and how it influences the story that you tell, but also of what interests you. Are there any things top of mind where you go, okay, I want to leave this with the listeners as well?
Yeah, look, there are a lot of things that I'd really like to say. But one thing I've noticed in this discourse is the question of, okay, so I'm in a quantitative research discipline, my research is quantitative. These kinds of people tend to question the value of using reflexivity and using positionality. Now, just to link those two very quickly together, reflexivity is in a way a precursor to positionality. You use the reflections that you develop about yourself to make concrete some of these ideas about how your context influences your research, and you make them concrete through a positionality statement. A lot of people in, say, again, the quantitative research areas, they say, how can I really do that? This isn't something we really do. And so I think one sort of thinking point for the listeners that I'd like to leave them with is, okay, so maybe positionality in terms of a concrete positionality statement. So I am this person, I have these characteristics, and these influence my research in this paper in such a way, for example. That might not work for you. My question would be, okay, how would you in your particular research context operationalize reflexivity in a way that works for you? Would you just engage in thinking about how you influence the research process, or would there be a way to make that concrete or to reify it at all? Because I think often at the heart of these things, at the heart of these pushes to do this in the research process, oh, you should do this, you should make a positionality statement, because we're seeing this a little bit in grant proposals, in papers for some journals, we're seeing requests for positionality statements. But it's difficult to make that meaningful if you don't really know how you can do it yourself. So just thinking about how you would do reflexivity in a way that made sense to you for your particular discipline, that's something that I'd like to prompt listeners with.
That's a very practical exercise. And as you said this, I was also reflecting on how I explore the problems in the world differently now than, say, 5 years ago, and trying to articulate my own story, my own progress throughout it, also helps me to understand what influences my personal context in that sense.
Yeah.
And with that, we will close out this conversation around personal context and how we explore the world. And then, of course, specifically, we are researchers within a research context, but that can also happen outside of research, of course. And we want to leave you with a bit of an exercise. It's not homework. We're not going to check you on it in 2 weeks. We did say we want to stimulate ourselves, but also you to think about these things. So what are some of the potential pieces of personal context that influence how you explore the world around yourself? And it isn't an easy topic when we talk about whiteness or our gender or our sexuality, especially when you deviate from the default.
Yeah.
But it also means that the people in the default very often don't have to talk about these things. So if you feel like it isn't easy, please do put in a bit of effort, even just for yourselves, because it's interesting to keep the discussion going, because we cannot expect ourselves to be good at something if we never really train it. And so with that, thank you again for choosing to spend your time with us. We don't take that for granted. We will be back in 2 weeks if you choose to spend your time with us again with another episode of the Open Update. And until then,
take care.